Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, no messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know those whom I have chosen. But so that scripture might be fulfilled, the one who ate my food has raised his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we hit the midway point of the Easter season. For the second half of the Easter season at daily Mass, we're going to be entering into Jesus' words from the Last Supper, but looking at them through a post-resurrection key. He was telling us this, as he says in today's gospel, so that when, before it happens, so that when it happens, we might believe that he is the one. He is the burning bush. He is Yahweh in the flesh. Today Jesus was talking about messengers. Messengers not greater than the one who sent. But the messenger has a huge relationship to the one sent. Jesus wants to send us so that others in receiving us might receive him. This is one of the great mysteries. This isn't just an intentional thing that those who receive us kind of, sort of, want to receive him. But because through baptism we have been made one with the Lord, we enter mystically into his mystical body. There's a sacramental and not just an intentional union. So the one who receives us receives the one with whom we're in communion. If they receive the one with whom we're in communion, they receive the one with whom he is in communion. That is why he says, whoever receives me, the one I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. What an extraordinary reality. Therefore, what's key for us is if we want them to accept God, we must take the risk to put ourselves out there so that they might receive us. God has made, in a sense, their reception of him dependent on their reception of the messenger, and we are those messengers. Today in the first reading, we see that Paul and Barnabas took that mission seriously. Yesterday, if we didn't have the Feast of St. Mark, we would have had that monumental scene in Antioch where the Holy Spirit spoke as they were praying and said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the mission that I have planned for them." So then they laid hands on them and sent them off, and they went to Crete. From Paphos in Crete, they sailed across to the swamps. They got off, and the same John Mark we celebrated yesterday chickened out as he saw that he would have to traverse through some shallow Everglades, we could call it, malaria infested. Looks like Paul did catch malaria through that, from some of his words later, that his eyes were in so much pain that he wanted to rip them out, which is something that happens with malaria. But then you've got this 3,600-foot cliff that basically you have to climb. Not a big path at all. Frightening. And to make it even more frightening, you had bandits who used to wait there, threatening to toss you off all the way down to the bottom unless you paid the toll. Paul and Barnabas, though, wanted the Gentiles to be able to receive God, and in doing so they had to take the risk of rejection, even of death, because those who would receive them would be receiving the one with whom they were in communion and the one with whom he was in communion. So off they went. They get up to the synagogue on the Sabbath in Antioch Pisidia. There are just a couple verses that describe the adventure, but it would almost be like saying, arrived in New York, walked to Los Angeles, and then showed up in a church on Sunday and they said, would you have anything to say? I mean, that's what happens here, the adventure that was part of the proclamation of the gospel. My brothers, if any of you has a word of exhortation for the people, please speak. I've always loved that phrase. We should always be ready with that word of exhortation. If you show up anywhere and somebody were to say, sister, what do you have to say to the people? Are we ready to go? Do we perpetually have this word of exhortation? You know, it's funny sometimes. I occasionally fall prone to it too. When people just simply say, how are you doing? You can start with either a word of exhortation or a word of complaint or a word of self-reference or plenty of words. But do we start with this word of exhortation? Do we take every opportunity that we have to be able to spread the good news? How are you doing? What a beautiful day it is today. Isn't God great? We can just start off with that word. What does Paul do? Paul, in this 26th verse, Fervorino / homily / word of exhortation, gives us a real frame for the way they proclaimed the kerygma in the early church. And it's something that we should learn from, doubtless inspired by the Holy Spirit as it was. If we learned this simple way of giving a word of exhortation, we can adapt it to almost every circumstance. Today we get his first 13 verses. Tomorrow we'll get 8, and 5 are just not given in the liturgy, but it would provide some beautiful reading on the day of the gala. What does he do? 4 parts. First part is he enters into their hopes. Their hopes in that synagogue were for a Messiah. We're not always going to be speaking to a Jewish audience, but first enters into their real aspirations in life. For us, people have high expectations of God. Even the atheists have, for the most part, rejected God because God hasn't lived up to their high expectations. So we start with the expectations that people have. Second thing that he does, which is tomorrow's gospel for the most part, is how Jesus is the fulfillment of those hopes. The third part, which is key to the good news, even though it seems paradoxically contrary to the good news. The third part is, Jesus, as that fulfillment of the hopes, was rejected. He came to his own, and they didn't receive him. And that leads to the fourth, the choice that everyone has, whether they're going to follow in the path of rejection or they're going to receive the gift. 4 parts. Jesus, so first the hopes, second Jesus the fulfillment of those hopes, third rejection, and fourth the choice that everyone has. Now when you look at Jesus on the road to Emmaus, we see something like this. He entered into their hopes, how disappointed they were to have those hopes crushed. He described how the Messiah was actually the fulfillment of those hopes precisely through what he suffered. And that's when their hearts began to burn. They had initially rejected that truth, but then when given the choice again, they embraced it. And they immediately went to have others share it. Similarly today, there are many with hopes for God. Hopes that he will be present in the midst of their agony and their suffering. hopes for themselves to find love, whatever it be. Those authentic seeds have been planted by God, and we can water them. We can start to show in concrete how God has become one of us precisely to be able to help us there. That not everybody accepts Him, but you have the chance to be able to do so. This is the pattern. In the very fact that we are the model, or we're supposed to be the model, of someone who has in fact made that choice for the Lord, makes it more beautiful and easy for somebody else just to follow. Because in receiving us and receiving our witness as sincerely as it is given, they are already accepting the Lord mysteriously. And the Lord, through that acceptance, can grow within them. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. We always need to be ready to have that word of exhortation and sing of the Lord's goodness. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we call to mind that the Lord Jesus Himself each day comes as the fulfillment of our hopes, wanting us to receive Him at the depth with which He desires and deserves to be received with all our heart. Together let us ask the same Holy Spirit who set apart Paul and Barnabas for their work to fill us with the fulfillment of our hopes, so that just as He sent them, He might send us today. Praise be Jesus Christ.